Good evening and welcome to our evening worship service. The announcements just for this week ahead. Tuesday night is our midweek meeting, and that's in the session room at 8 o'clock. And then next Thursday, we have the Sabbath school classes at 11, prayer time at 11:30, the service, morning service at 12, and then in the evening, prayer time at 7:10, and the evening worship at 7:30. And just a reminder that over the next few weeks, there's the opportunity to give to the earthquake appeal to help with the relief effort in Turkey and Syria. Long time ago, there was missionaries from Kilrats that went out to work in Syria, I believe, and the region affected by the earthquake was the region kind of area that they were working in. Well, we come to our time of evening worship, and we begin singing praise to God. Psalm 65C is where we sing from, and we sing the first four stanzas using the tune Heber, number 219. Psalm 65, the C version, and singing the first four stanzas. Praise waits for thee in Zion. To thee vows paid shall be. O God of prayer, the hearer, all flesh shall come to thee. Iniquities are daily prevailing over me, but all of our transgressions are covered o'er by thee. And we're encouraged by these words to come to God in prayer. He is the hearer of prayer. And when we come to him confessing our sins, well, our transgressions are covered over by him. And so we need to keep coming to God in worship, coming to him in prayer, coming to him with our praise. Psalm 65, the first four stanzas, tune 219, we'll stand to sing and then remain standing for prayer. Let us worship God. Father in heaven, we praise you that as we come together and sing your praises and look to you in our prayers, that you're not a God who is deaf to these things. We thank you that your ear is open to our prayers and our praises. And we thank you that with you there is forgiveness, and you're the one who can cover over all of our transgressions. And we praise you, Lord, for that fullness of forgiveness, fullness of salvation that there is in Jesus Christ the Lord. We thank you that he is the complete Savior that we need, and that because of his completed work of salvation, that nothing else is necessary. And Lord, we come with thanks for another opportunity to meet together. We pray that you'll be with us here in this time of worship. We ask for the working of your Holy Spirit among us, and we pray that you will help us, O Lord, to bring you the worship of our hearts. You are the one who has the right to tell us how we are to go about our lives, and we pray that we will submit ourselves to the things that you teach us in your word. Seek to follow those ways that you show us to be your good ways. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the life that he lived. We thank you for how in every way he sets us an example that we are to seek to follow. And Lord, we pray that you will teach us to be disciples of Jesus. Hear our prayers now. Forgive us all our sins, we ask in his name. Amen. Now, I'm going to read from God's Word, and William will be doing the scripture reading, and it'll be from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 11, the first 13 verses in Luke chapter 11.
Scripture reading this evening is from Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. This is the word of God. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We pray that God would bless us through the reading of his word. Amen.
Thank you, William, for that scripture reading. And we sing further to God's praise now from Psalm 115. Sing part of Psalm 115. We use the tune Warwick, number 173. And the stanzas that we sing are 6. Through to 11. Psalm 115 and from stanza 6. O Israel, trust in the Lord, their help and shield is he. O Aaron's house, trust in the Lord, their help and shield is he. And as for you who fear the Lord, now place your trust in him. The Lord, he is their help, and he a shield is unto them. The Lord is a help, and the Lord is a shield unto his people. He is the one to whom we are to look in our prayers, looking with confidence that he knows how to look after us, he knows how to equip us, he knows how to provide for us. Psalm 115, we sing from stanza 6 through to the end, and the tune Warwick 173. We stand as we sing and praise to God. Now we turn again to read from God's Word. The earlier reading was from chapter 11 in Luke's Gospel. It was part of the teaching of the Lord Jesus on the subject of prayer. And now I want to read again in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 18, reading the first 8 verses of Luke chapter 18. And this is a parable that Jesus teaches, a parable about prayer and about persevering in prayer. Luke chapter 18 at the beginning. This is God's word. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And then we turn to Ephesians chapter 6, Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6. And I want to just read again the verses that speak about the armor of God from verse 13. Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And we finish our reading of God's word there at that place. this morning, in our earlier service, we were in Luke chapter 8 and considering two people that came to Jesus for help. And they were able to physically come to Jesus, the woman who had the bleed for 12 years and the synagogue ruler whose daughter was dying. And they came to Jesus, seeking the help of Jesus, one for herself and the other for his daughter. And the woman that came, she had tried many, many other things before she came to Jesus. For 12 years, she had been seeking a cure for her bleed, and she hadn't found any cure. And I suppose you could say that Jesus was a last resort. If he wasn't able to help her, she just couldn't think of how she was ever going to be cured of her ailment. And prayer for many people is a last resort. It's something that people will turn to if everything else fails and there doesn't seem to be any prospect of anything changing. Now, I'm going to speak this evening on verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. It's the verse that follows on from the description of the Christian armor. And last week we were thinking in part about how the Lord Jesus Christ, how he used the word of God as the sword of the Spirit to defeat Satan and his attacks. And another weapon that the Lord Jesus used when he was in this world was prayer. And prayer was something that was very important in the life of the Lord Jesus. And perhaps you see that particularly in the Gospel of Luke that we're looking at in our, at least part of it, in our morning services at present. Read the Gospels and you'll find that prayer wasn't just something that Jesus resorted to or that he fitted in when time permitted. Jesus made time to pray. Luke 5:16 says that he often withdrew into lonely, desolate places in order to pray. Luke 6, verse 12 tells us how Jesus went out onto the mountainside to pray and spent the whole night praying to God. And so that was the way it was in the life of the Lord Jesus. And here in Ephesians chapter 6, after Paul has completed his description of the full armor of God, this is the full armor. There's nothing else to add to it. There's no other pieces of armor as such. But in verse 18, he speaks about the prayerful approach and the prayerful attitude that is needed in putting on each piece of the armor, or in taking up each piece of the armor. And there's one word that is repeated in this verse, and it is the word all. And it's found in four different places in Ephesians 6, verse 18. And so I want to speak this evening about the four alls that we have here in this verse. The first one is always, verse 18, praying always. Putting on the full armor of God and praying always. No putting on of the full armor of God without prayer, but always praying in the midst of putting on the full armor of God. And Paul is teaching us quite plainly here that Christians are to be people who pray on all occasions. Prayer for the Christian is not to be purely a formal thing that is only done at stated times, and that's the only time you ever pray. That's not the way it's meant to be. In the Old Testament, we have a great example of a man who prayed, and Daniel had a very disciplined and structured prayer life. Three times a day he prayed. But that isn't meant to teach us that those were the only times that Daniel actually prayed. We are to pray always. Now, that doesn't mean that God expects us to do nothing else but pray. But what he expects is that we will pray about everything. If anything's worth doing, it's worth praying about. And where possible, where it's possible for us in life to be praying while we are doing, well, then that's what God tells us we should do. We should pray always. If it's possible to be praying, well, then that is a good thing. And it is good to have fixed times when you pray. It's good to have that discipline and structure in your life where you give time and it's set aside for the purpose of praying. But it's good also to pray at other times. And if you're doing the ironing, you could be praying at the same time. If you're out driving your lorry, you could be praying at the same time, as long as you keep your eyes open. And if you're out walking, whether you're walking yourself or whether you're walking the dog, you can pray when you're out in the open air. You can speak to God, whether it's out loud or whether it's quietly within yourself. If you have a bath and you go for a bath occasionally, you can be praying when you're in the bath, or when you're lying in bed before you go to sleep, or when you wake up in the morning, or if you're awake during the night, there is the opportunity to pray. If you're out working in the garden, you could be praying at the same time as you're doing your bits and pieces out there in the garden. If you're doing various kinds of housework, you could be praying at the same time as you're doing. And Paul says that we are to be praying always. And there are many opportunities for prayer in the midst of ordinary life. And the Christian soldier is someone who will be found praying always. So that's the first all is praying always. The second all then in this verse is where it says, with all prayer. Praying always with all prayer. And this means all kinds of prayer. There are different parts of prayer. There are different things that we do when we speak to God in prayer, different aspects of prayer. And I'm sure many of you, when you were young at some stage, you were taught a way of remembering the different parts of prayer and using the four letters in the word ACTS, A-C-T-S. And the word A, maybe we don't all have the same words for A-C-T-S, but when I was taught it, A was for adoration. And that is expressing delight in God. It's praise. It's praising God for who he is, for what he does. Adoration. That's a good thing. And that's what we find often in prayers in the scriptures. The C is for confession, because we're all sinners and we all have sins to confess. And so it is good to confess our sins to God. It reminds us that we have no right to come to God expecting God to do anything for us, because we're remembering how we have let him down, how we have failed, how we have sinned against him. Confession is a part of prayer. The T is for thanksgiving. And always, just as every day we have sins to confess, every day we have things to be thankful for. And it doesn't matter if it's the same things every day. If God gives you those same good things every day, well then give thanks for those same good things every day. There's some of the most ordinary things in life that we can take for granted. But if God takes those things away, you'll notice the difference. Very, very ordinary things are wonderful things. And we are to thank God for his goodness. The S in ACTS is for supplication. And that's just a word meaning asking. We are to come to God and we are to ask him. God loves to be asked to do things, because God is able to help. And God is mighty and God is powerful. And as a Father in heaven, he delights in his children coming and saying, Father, can you help me in this matter? So these are different parts of prayer. And when we pray, we're to pray with all prayer. Another way of thinking of prayer is to use the letters in the word pray. And P is for praise. Important to praise God in our prayers. R is for repent. And it's a good thing to confess your sin, but if you're not going to repent of your sin, your confession doesn't really mean too much. And so R for repent. We confess our sins in our prayers, but we need to go away from our prayers and repent of those sins. So praise and repent. And then the A is for ask. We are to ask God in our prayers. And then the Y. Well, what do you think the Y would be for? See if you can figure it out for yourself. There's P, there's R, there's A. And then there's a Y. How do you get a Y into prayer? What word beginning with Y has anything to do with prayer? Well, the word is yield. When you've brought things before God, when you've asked him for his help, well, then you have to yield to whatever he does. If he doesn't give you what you've asked for, you have to yield to that. If he gives you what you've asked for, you have to accept that God has given me what I've asked for. And if he gives you far, far more than what you've asked for, well, you have to yield to the generosity of God. And so there are different parts to prayer. And the Lord himself, we read the version of what we call the Lord's Prayer there in Luke chapter 11. And Jesus gives us a pattern prayer and the different kind of things we are to include in our prayers. And so God wants us to have a variety of things in our prayers. God delights in hearing our praise and in receiving our thanks. He delights In our confessing of our sin, our owning up to what we've been like. And he doesn't just want us to be coming to him in prayer and asking and asking and asking. That is always, here's what I want. God does want to hear what we want. But in our prayers, there are to be all kinds of prayers. Praying always with all prayer. So always praying and all kinds of prayers. And then the third all is all perseverance. We are to show all perseverance in our praying. Jesus taught in his parables that we are to keep on praying and that we are not to give up. Jesus knew we would be tempted to give up. He knew his disciples would be tempted to give up. And so he teaches that we're to keep on praying and not give up. Sometimes in life, you feel like praying. Sometimes you want to pray. And sometimes perhaps we read something that encourages us to pray, read something in the scriptures, and we see how God mightily answers prayer, and it gives us hope for our own prayers. But maybe it doesn't last very long, and we find it hard to keep going. Maybe sometimes we just get lazy, or we get sloppy, and it becomes one of those optional things in life. And there's so many other things that just have to be done, and prayer can get squeezed out by other things. Everybody finds that to be the case. I'm sure we would all have to confess, as part of our confession to God, that we don't pray as we ought to pray. We are to persevere in our prayers. And it's easy or easier to persevere in prayer when we're convinced that the important thing is that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we're praying for things that are God's will, they're always going to be God's will. And if this is the will of God, well, then why would you stop praying for that thing? That doesn't make any sense. So being concerned to see God's will being done, that helps us to keep going in prayer. The Lord Jesus taught the importance of persevering in prayer. He teaches about asking. How are you going to receive if you don't ask? And he talks about seeking. Don't just ask, but seek. And don't just ask and seek, but knock. Keep on knocking. And Jesus says it's the person who asks, it's the person who seeks, it's the person who knocks that will receive, and keep on doing those things. He talks about that persistence that was rewarded by the unjust judge. And God isn't an unjust judge. God desires to see persistence. And so we're to persevere in our prayers. There's people and there's things that you just have to keep on praying for all your life. And you're never going to be able to stroke those things or those names off your prayer list. You might not always be praying for the same thing, but you could be praying for the same person. And perseverance is required. And it's a wonderful thing in life when God does something that you've been praying for years and years and years. It's all the more special when you see that persevering in prayer has yielded a desirable result. So there is praying always, there's all kinds of prayer, and there is all perseverance in prayer. It's not yet time to give up. We need to keep on praying. God often delays his answers to prayer, and that is a test. Do we really want the things that we're asking God for? If we do, we'll keep on asking for them, because these are things we are convinced will be truly good. And then the fourth all in regard to prayer is supplication for all the saints. We're to pray for all the saints. Charles Hodge makes the point that no soldier entering battle prays for himself alone. And isn't that right? You wouldn't just pray for yourself in the battle. But he prays for all his fellow soldiers also. They form one army, and the success of one is the success of all. And Paul is speaking about Christian warfare. He's talking about putting on the armor of God, and he's talking about praying for all the saints. It's not just praying for yourself, but it's praying for all of God's people. A person who spends all their prayer time praying for themselves is not a healthy Christian. A person in life who only thinks about themselves doesn't have a healthy mindset, and a person who only prays for themselves is not spiritually well. If you're consumed with your own problems and your own situations, that will be a barrier that prevents you from ever moving forward in those things. You just become focused on the problem, focused on the difficulty, and you're not really praying at all. You're just talking to yourself. One of the greatest ways of getting your own problems into perspective is to listen to someone else's problems and to realize what life is like on a daily basis for another person. It can give you a totally different outlook on your own life, and it can bring you to be thanking God that you are able to do the things that you're able to do when you meet someone who couldn't do the things that you do. And they would love to be able to do the things that you do, but they can't. And that is something that helps us in our thinking to pray for others. That's what God wants us to do. We're to pray for all the saints. He commands that this is what we are to do. And it's not just for the other people in our particular congregation that we're to pray for. That's a good thing to do. That's a right thing to do. We should do that. But Paul says to pray for all the saints. All the Christians, they were scattered about the known world at that time. But I mean, how is that possible? How is it possible to pray for all the saints? How could one person pray for all the Christians in the world? Well, I suppose you could say a very general prayer. You could say, God bless all the Christians in the world. And you could say, look, I've prayed for all the saints. But there's surely more to it than that. We can be thankful that it's harder for us today to pray for all the saints than it was for the Apostle Paul in his day, because the Christian faith has spread so much more widely, and there are so many more Christians in the world today by the grace of God than there were then. And Paul himself was a man who had gone around lots of places. He had founded many different churches. He knew many people in many different situations, and we're not all like that, and very few people are like that. But Paul says that we are to pray for all the saints. How can we pray for Christians in different parts of the world or even within our own land? We have no way of knowing all the situations that they face. We don't know their names. We've never met those people. And probably the best we can do in some situations is just pray for particular nations on the earth. And at different times, the things that are reported in the news can prompt us to pray for Christians in particular lands. Many have prayed for Christians in Ukraine in recent times. And different parts of the world are quite different in terms of the experience of Christian people. The type of government that there is, the type of religion that prevails within that land, these things make a huge difference. If you would want to find out about different countries and a little bit about the spiritual situation in those lands, the best resource for that is this book here called Operation World. I'm not sure that this is the most recent edition of it. It used to be a man called Patrick Johnston that was the author of this, and then Jason Mandrick took over for him. And this there's a huge amount of stuff in this. This is not the kind of book you would sit down to read. You just dip into it occasionally. And today I was mentioning in the morning about the Scottish RP Church and how they have a connection with the Gambia in West Africa. And this book has a few pages on the Gambia, and it shows you where the Gambia is on a map. It's a very strange country. On the west coast of Africa, you have a river going sort of going inland, pretty much in a straight line, and it's in the middle of Senegal. And the bit of land to the north and south of that river, that is the Gambia, and it goes about two-thirds of the way across Senegal, and you have Senegal to the south, and you have Senegal to the north, and you have this little bit in the middle around the river, and the name of the country comes from the river. The book tells you things like that, and it tells you about the religious makeup of the land and the sort of proportion of Christians there would be and things like that. There's far, far too much information for anybody ever to be able to retain. But something like that can tell you a bit about a particular country in the world, and you could use that to pray for a particular country. We are to pray for all the saints. And there will be Christians in other parts of the world who will be praying for believers in Northern Ireland. And they may not know a wee lot about Northern Ireland. And they're maybe imagining that we're still the way things were 30 years ago in Northern Ireland. But there will be Christians in other places that will be praying for people like us. And we can pray for people like them. We're to pray for all the saints. And prayer is something that is a bit like a spiritual thermometer. Prayer indicates the reality of our spiritual health. If prayer is just something that you do because you think you should do it, well, that's a sign that God isn't really important to you. God doesn't really matter to you. He's like a person that you go to see occasionally because you think you really should. That's not a sign of spiritual health. Prayer is something that should be a feature of our lives every day. Always praying, and praying for all sorts of people. The Scottish minister, Robert Murray McShane, once said that what a man is on his knees before Almighty God, that he is and nothing more. And it is the reality of our prayer life that shows the true reality of our spiritual stature. That which is unseen by others, that is the true measure of where we're at. And that is a thing that probably makes us think that we are far from what we should be. And it is easy to get discouraged when we think about our failings in prayer and our lack of prayer. It's something that every Christian struggles with. I mean, the disciples struggled with it when Jesus was about to die and the disciples were falling asleep. They couldn't even stay awake to pray for Jesus in his hour of need. And it is a struggle. But we're not to be overwhelmed by a sense of failure. And we shouldn't feel that things are just such a mess that there's nothing there of any value at all. There are surely things that we could do to make a difference. It is the scheme of the devil to keep us from praying and to discourage us in regard to prayer, make us think, well, what does it matter anyway? And the devil doesn't want us to change in any positive way. And so surely there's something that we can think of based on Ephesians 6, verse 18. Something we could change. If we could change one thing in regard to prayer, that would make a difference. Maybe it's deliberately making a point of praying when you're doing something else. Some activity that takes a bit of time, and for part of the time when you're doing that thing that doesn't require a great deal of thought, you could be praying while you're doing it. Maybe the next time you're walking, if you're walking on your own, you could pray for part of the time when you're out walking. I was out for a walk on a beautiful snowy morning when there had been a snowfall overnight, and the beauty of the snow on the different things I saw, it just drew praise for God out of me, and I couldn't do anything but pray. It was just so wonderful. Just the things that I could see with my eyes. To pray when you're doing something else, that would be a good thing to try to do. Or maybe you could resolve to be more diligent in giving thanks to God in your prayers. There's so many things that we don't give thanks for, but they are such good things. And we would be so sorry if we didn't have those things. And God delights in being thanked for the things that he gives us. Perhaps you could resolve to begin again praying for something that you've stopped praying for. You've lost heart. You've given up. You've stopped praying. You could pick that up again. And you could confess that to God, and that will be a good thing to do. Whatever it is, if there's something you can find in regard to prayer, some change that can be made, that will be good and that will be important. And if you're able to hold on to that, if you're able to keep that going, well, then you could think about something else in which you could be more faithful in your prayers. Nobody can change everything at once. We're just not able to do that. But little changes, changing one thing, that is achievable, that is attainable. And in regard to our prayers, there are things that we could give ourselves to doing better than we are presently doing. Prayer is not meant to be a last resort. Prayer is not meant to be something that you turn to if you just really can't see any other way in life. Prayer is to be something that is our first resort. It's where we're to begin. And prayer is to be something that is there in the midst of whatever we're doing. And prayer is something that should follow on from whatever it is that we have done. We are to be praying always, praying before, praying during, and praying after. And this is all part of being a Christian soldier. The soldier that has all the right equipment in place isn't a soldier without prayer. Prayer is essential. Praying always with all prayer. And God would remind us from the scriptures that we do need to pray, that it is essential, that if we don't pray, well then whatever we're doing won't really be worth anything. But if we bring things to God in prayer, there can be great value in whatever it is that we do for him. John Stott says that most Christians pray sometimes with some prayer and some degree of perseverance for some of God's people. But God tells us that we're to give prayer our all. And in this verse, there are four alls, and all of them are important. Amen. Now we turn to God in prayer, and if you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can draw near to you in our prayers, that we can come to you as children who have been adopted by our Father in heaven. And Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your kindness. We praise you, Lord, that you can be bothered with people like us. We praise you that you're a long-suffering God. And we thank you for your great patience, for your great tenderness and compassion. We thank you for your generosity. And, O Lord, we rejoice that we know that these things aren't going to dry up, but you will always be what we know you to be. We confess our sin, O Lord. We acknowledge that we fall short in everything, but we do fall short in our prayers. And we ask that you will forgive us, O Lord, for giving up when we shouldn't have given up. We pray that you will forgive us, O Lord, for our lack of faith, for the smallness of the things that we ask for. We pray that you will forgive us when we think too much of ourselves and don't pray for others as we ought to. Lord, we pray that you will help us to pray. Help us to believe that we need to pray. And we pray, O God, that you will lead us forward in these things. We thank you for the things that the scriptures teach us in regard to prayer. And we pray, O Lord, that you will help us to respond to those things. Our Father, we return thanks to you for the good things that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, for the Sabbath day that you give to us, for the opportunity that we have to come and join in public worship. And we thank you for the rest that we can get, and we praise you for the spiritual refreshment that you provide for us. Lord, we thank you that you remember how we are made and that you know the needs that we have and what is good for us, what enables us to work well. And we praise you, God, for all the wisdom that you have put into the scriptures that shows us how we should live our lives. Lord, we pray for the work of the gospel in our foreign mission fields. We thank you for the work in Nantes. We thank you for this exciting time with the building work that's going on and all the changes that are there from that folk will see from week to week. And we pray, O God, that work will progress well. And we pray, O Lord, that you'll be working in the hearts of people that you will bring to that place of worship. And we pray that the church will grow and develop and advance And we pray for all the different groups that are involved in different parts of the work. We pray for the team that will be going out from the church later in the year. We pray that will all come together well, and that your provision will be evident in all of this building process. We pray that nothing else will suffer as a result of this, but that there will be good things happening and that there will be great encouragements within the fellowship there in Nantes. Pray also for Seville. We give thanks for the church in Seville. We pray for Isaac Berricall as he settles into serving as the minister there. Help the folk in the congregation as they get used to him and the way he goes about things. And we pray that you will help them to appreciate the things that he does well, and help them, O Lord, in the things where he maybe doesn't do things the way they would want to see him doing them. And we pray that you will unite folk together, and that there will be a great oneness within the church there. We pray that they will have the joy of seeing others come in among them and be added to your church. We pray, Lord, for the folk in Galway. Pray for them in the call they have made to Nathan Hawthorne. Pray for Nathan as he's due to be preaching in Galway next weekend. And we pray that that will be a really beneficial time for him as he meets the people there, as he talks to folk that wouldn't have been around when he was last in Galway. We pray that you'll help him as he talks with Billy Hamilton, and we pray that you will bless his ministry there as he brings your word, leads the people in worship. And we pray that you'll be pleased to guide Nathan. Pray for him and Ellen, and we ask, Lord, that you help them as they talk things over, as they consider the options that are before them. We thank you for how you've blessed his ministry in Ballyclare, and how that congregation has been built up. And we pray that you'll be with the people there and help them in their thoughts about all of this. We pray that you'll give them a confidence, O Lord, that you will provide for them, whether it's under their present pastor or whether it would be under someone else. Lord, we rejoice that you're the wise God and that you deploy your resources as you see fit. We give thanks for the men who've come into our Northern Presbytery the past year. We pray for John Coulter and his ongoing ministry in Drimbolgue. And we pray that you will give John great wisdom. We pray that he will continue to see you at work. You help him in the people that he's seeking to steer in good directions. And Lord, we pray that you will strengthen your cause there in Drimbolgue. We give thanks for Raymond coming to Dervock, and we praise you for the great encouragement that has been for the congregation there. We pray for Raymond and Carol and the girls, that you help them as they get used to their different setting. We pray for your blessing upon the work and the congregation there, and that that all the different activities that are going on, that there will be good things happening, and that there will be new life and new opportunities. Lord, we pray that you will build your church and strengthen your cause, and give encouragements to people. Help us, O Lord, to be always praying and not giving up, but bringing all our concerns to you, and knowing that you're the one who is almighty, and that nothing is too difficult for you. Lord, hear our prayers. We ask for forgiveness for all our sins. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to keep looking to you and to keep in touch. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalm is part of Psalm 69. We sing stanzas 22 to 26, and the tune is Consolation, number 66. Psalm 69, and we sing the stanzas at the end of the psalm from 22 through to 26. Stanza 22, but I am in distress and pain. O God, now keep and save. And I will praise God's name in song and thanks and glory give. This will please God more than an ox or bull with horn and hoof. The humble saw, we're glad. You who seek God, may your hearts live. God hears the needy and does not his prisoners despise. Let heaven and earth, the seas and all that move in them, him praise. For God will Zion save, and he will Judah's towns restore. Then people will inhabit them, and them inherit will. His servants, children's children then, inherit will the same, and they will have their dwelling there, who dearly love his name. God takes pleasure and delight in being praised, and whether that's in song or whether that's in the praise we bring him in our prayers, God delights in these things. And prayer is an expression of our love for God and our delight in him. So Psalm 69, the tune 66, we sing the last five stanzas from 22, and we stand to sing and remain standing then for the benediction. Receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.